Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to Emerge from the Ashes with your host, LaShawn Dobbs. And my co-host is not here with us tonight, but we'll return on next week. We are excited about our guests that we have on tonight. Those of you who are listening, thank you for joining us in the studio. Thank you for those of you who are listening in on tonight. We are excited to hear about Nozella Jordan on tonight, who is a native from Connecticut, and which is mine and my husband's hometown. For those of you who know us, you know that we're from Connecticut. And we're interested to hear about her book titled The Intimate Place, My God, My Man, Myself. On tonight, Nozella will share with us about this book and where we can also purchase the book. So without further ado, we welcome Nozella Jordan on Emerge from the Ashes on tonight. Nozella, are you there?
Yes, I am, LaShawn. God bless you, and thank you for having me.
Awesome. God bless you. I'm excited to hear more about your story and your journey, your book.
Yes, and I'm excited to be able to share it.
Awesome. Can you please share with us a little bit about yourself before you get into your book?
Most definitely. As you said, I am a native of Connecticut. I was actually born in the Bronx, but I did grow up in New Haven. I went to the New Haven Public Schools. I graduated from New Haven Public Schools, and I did extend my education to an additional year for business school as an executive secretary. I come from somewhat of a large family. I have seven other siblings. I am a proud mom of three and an extremely proud grandmother of three as well. I retired from the city of New Haven at the age of 46, and I only mention that because not many black people get to retire at such a young age. You know, most people, they're looking for that 65 and 70 mark. But, you know, God has blessed me to where I was actually able to retire at the age of 46.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yes, yes. And I've also started a second career in the meantime, you know, in contrast with also becoming now a published author. I am also a seasoned evangelist where I preached in throughout Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, even in Maryland and North Carolina.
Awesome. God has just definitely blessed you and launched you all over. That's a blessing.
He has, and it is definitely a blessing. And, you know, many people need to understand when it comes to ministry, it's not about being recognized, but it's about the God in you being recognized more than anything.
Wow, amen. That's powerful right there. Starting
yes.
off already. So we're going to just jump right in because unfortunately
okay.
we only get like 30 minutes on this show.
Yes, I know, and it can go by rather quickly.
Yes. We are interested to know what led up to you writing The Intimate Place?
Well, one of the things that I noticed some years ago is when we would come into worship service and, you know, also being a praise and worship leader for many years, there was always a struggle, and I'm sure you've been in services where the praise leader or even the musician tell the people, come on and give God praise, come on and, you know, worship God, and we shouldn't have to pump people up to
yeah.
give praise or to worship a God that they say they know, that they have a relationship with. And I saw such a struggle with people coming in, and when we would enter into a time of worship, I see the people of God struggling to be intimate. And it just broke my heart, believe it or not. I said, God, what is wrong? Why are we struggling? you know, to be intimate with you. We say we pray to you all the time. We say we read your word. We fast and we consecrate. We sing songs to you. You know, why is there such a struggle? And I thought that, I said, oh, this makes a really good teaching message. And but God never released me to minister that mindset from the pulpit. And so I said, okay, well, when the time is right, he'll release me to minister or to do, like, some kind of a seminar. Then it wasn't too long after that someone had prophesied to me about writing two books. And I was like, yeah, okay, fine. I'm thinking, you know, maybe when I'm 60 or 70, I would write a book. And in the midst or after the prophecy, God had shifted me out of Connecticut down here to Baltimore to start a new job that lasted all of 3.5 months. And I was distraught. I was like, God, what are you trying to do to me? And he simply said, I told you to write two books. And I said, God, I'll get to it. He said, no, I mean now. I was like, okay. And, you know, then one day I, you know, went into my time of meditation and prayer, and I said, okay, God, you're saying you want me to write this book. What do you want me to call this book? I knew what I wanted to talk about, but I had not summarized it in terms of what would the topic be. And he plainly told me, the intimate place, my God, my man, myself. And the reason why it was given to me that way, because he knew my concern and my desire was to get us to have healthier lives of intimacy, first and foremost with him as Christians, for those who are married or for those who are even dating, looking to get married. And then even with ourselves, a lot of times we neglect ourselves. I think we neglect ourselves more than any of the other relationships when it comes to intimacy or pretty much anything. We give to everybody else, but we don't give to ourselves. And so those are the three key relationships that we have, as well as with friendships. And I just really wanted to be able to provide some kind of resource to the body of Christ, most importantly, because that's where I was seeing the problem. But then I looked, you know, even in the world on whole, that this is not just a problem in the house of God, but a lot of people just in general struggle with being intimate, all because of the misconception that's been taught for generations by society itself, that intimacy only means one thing, and that's sex, and it's not.
Yeah. Wow. That's so true. When
yes.
you say the word intimacy to anyone, it's like they get a little squiggly, like, okay, why is she asking me about sex? Why is he or she asking me about sex?
You know, and that's the very visual picture that I have. Exactly. When you mention the word intimacy,
wow.
like you said, they become squirmish. You know, you're wondering if they're about to faint or have a heart attack when they fail to realize that intimacy, you know, once again, it has been portrayed that it's only surrounded by sex, and it's not. And with men, it's even, you know, harder for them because, once again, going back to this lack of proper teaching, and women have fallen into that same mindset because of a lack of teaching. And, you know, once again, my main desire was and still is to break that misconcept that society has created, that also has been brought into the house of God by us, his people. Whatever
yeah.
inferiorities that we have, whatever fears that we have, when we go into the house of God, we bring that stuff with us if we don't get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it impacts
That's
our ability
true.
To truly to be able to offer up God the worship he desires, as well as to be intimate with him. But also a lot of people, they limit their ability to be intimate only in the house of God because you got the music going. And the, you know, the music is fine. We know it has its place. But it seems like that's about the only thing that can get people to that place. But then I see many people struggle to stay there when the pooling begins to really happen, because I believe their lack of understanding for it, they become fearful, and then they come out of it. Mm. And it shouldn't be that way.
Wow. That's such powerful truth. And one of the things that you have said was that even beginning with men. So I want to say, I know that the title of your book is The Intimate Place, My God, My Man, Myself. Would you recommend a man to read this book? Okay.
Oh, absolutely. And I told all the men who purchased my book, I said, just flip-flop it. Since you're a man, say, my God, my woman, myself. And I actually, my whole intent also when writing this book was I wanted to get it into the hands of men first and foremost. One, because they are the head. And if that man has the knowledge to know how to be intimate towards his wife without her thinking all he wants is sex, he can also teach her how to be intimate towards him, to cater to him as well. And in the My Man chapter, I tell you, God just really blew my mind with what he gave me for the woman, because I am a woman and I was writing from a woman perspective, but I did say, men, this is applicable to you once again. All you got to do is flip-flop it. It's not just a one-way street. But my desire was to get it into the hands of men more so than women, because unfortunately more men do struggle with being able to be intimate with a woman without the sexual part added to it. But like I said, is that as the head, the way that God intended, if the wife don't know how to be intimate with her husband, he can also teach her, just as well as many women have taught men. But I want men to now be equipped to be able to be intimate with their wife effectively, and it's not surrounding the sexual aspect. We don't see a lot of men and women holding hands. We don't see a lot of men and women cuddling or hugging or anything. You know, some people, they just believe due to the lack of teaching or the way they was taught about sexuality is that this is the only way you can express yourself to a woman, and we need to correct that, and I'm talking about mainly in the body of Christ, because we're dealing with a God, and if that's our mindset in the carnal, then we're going to also take that mindset into the spiritual, and that's not where God is.
Wow, I love it. What would you say to someone who said, okay, Nadella, what's the difference about The Intimate Place compared to any other books of similar content?
Well, I haven't read any of the other books. I know Bishop T.D. Jakes wrote a book and another lady regarding intimacy with God. But my book is specific towards, like I said, the main relationships that govern our lifestyles. For those of us who are Christians and for those of us who do believe in God, our relationship with God, and for those of us who have partners and, once again, who's looking to get married, and then ourselves as well as family and friends. When I say myself, that does automatically include family and friends. And once again, I identify also, and I say 5.5 types of intimacies, because physical and sexual, although sexual is physical, but physical, you don't have to be sexual, but you can hold the hands, you can cuddle and things of that nature. So I identify that there's spiritual intimacy, there's emotional intimacy, there's verbal intimacy, there's the physical, the sexual, and I'm missing one, and I shouldn't even be missing one. What I say, spiritual, mental, emotional, verbal, physical / sexual. And I go into each one and I break each one down. What do they really mean? What do they really represent? Or how do they really affect our lives concerning intimacy? And so I just really go into a detailed teaching around that to show people the different types of intimacies that are available, and four of them are non-sexual. Four of them are non-physical. But the main one that we've been governed by for so long is the sexual. And I want to correct that philosophy that even when God had moments of intimacy with Adam, it was never sexual, but it was always spiritual. It was always mental, emotional, and verbal. That's what God's relationship was with Adam, and he desires the same thing with us. And I desire that we get back to the original purpose for why God even created intimacy. He created it for us.
Yeah.
He created it for our enjoyment. And even being in the church arena, the church have even shied away from it. They don't even talk about it. So what do you think is going to happen with your members? If you as the pastor or as some form of minister, if you're not letting the body of Christ know that it's okay to talk about intimacy, not sex, but intimacy. Yeah. This is why we're seeing a whole bunch of relationships that are happening out of the will of God because of the lack of teaching, unfortunately.
Wow. Thank you for pulling that out.
Yes.
Funny because as I'm sitting here looking at your book cover, the question that came to me is, I begin to see like couples who are planning on marriage, like reading this book together.
Yes.
Would you like to go ahead and elaborate on that? Because that's the visual I was getting, like couples, you know, people who are planning on getting married, reading this book together. What do you believe that they would gain from having this book?
They would first strengthen their relationship spiritually because God is the center or God is the foundation of our relationship as Christians. And when they start their relationship out based on God, then God can then direct them in the way that they need to go. And I've had actually a number of people who were married or in a relationship, and they were desiring to get married, and they said, I really need this book because one young lady, she says, and she's married now. And my book came out after she got married. She says, I need this book because right now I'm struggling in my marriage because I don't know how to be intimate with my husband the way that God intended for us to be with our mates. We know the Bible doesn't go into how God instructed Adam and Eve to be intimate with each other. However, intimacy was there, and once again, he created intimacy for our enjoyment. We shouldn't be embarrassed to want to be intimate with our spouses, especially we shouldn't be embarrassed to be intimate with God or with ourselves or family and friends. And one of the things that I want to bring out is the definition of intimacy, when I looked it up, is so simple. But yet it's such a scary word to so many. And the word intimate means to simply have a close friendship or a close relationship. It means that you want to have a time of closeness. And it has nothing to do with sex. And I talk about for couples, if you start your relationship out on sexual, then that is what's going to govern your relationship. But what happens when you are unable to have the sexual intimacy, will that define your relationship, or will it continue to be the driving motivator of your relationship?
Wow.
And so I want couples
I
to get
that.
Away from that sexual aspect and embrace the other forms of intimacy first, because the sexual part of it, to me, that's the culmination of the relationship. But it shouldn't be what drives the relationship. And I understand one of the reasons why God says, for those of us who's not married, you shouldn't be participating and sexual intimacy or sexual acts, because if that's how your relationship starts out, then it is going to govern your relationship. The same as if your relationship starts out with spiritual intimacy, then that's going to govern your relationship.
Yeah.
If your relationship starts out with the spirit, mental intimacy or verbal or emotional intimacy, these are the things that govern your relationship or will drive your relationship. And it's okay that these things drive your relationship, because that's the foundation you want. Just to kind of get a little deeper, today we have an all-time high of people having cancer. Men are having ED issues. What do you do when you cannot be sexually intimate? Is the marriage over? Is the relationship over? No, but you can still hold hands. If you want to kiss, you can still kiss. But the physical bottom portion of your body, you know, from my understanding, when people go through chemo, their body is racking in pain. Ain't nobody thinking about being touched. I'm sorry.
Oh,
that
might
change, but
it's the truth.
But nobody's thinking about being touched because their body is racking in pain.
Yeah.
But that hug, there is something to be said about a hug. If when you give that man or that woman a genuine hug, it will cause all that pain to subside.
Yeah. Wow.
So this definitely is a great book for couples as well. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because being a married woman, my husband and I, we talk about that a lot. Not basing marriages on just sex. And, you know, him and I have spoke about, like, the five love languages and just different things like that.
Yes.
Because what happens is, it's like, yes, sex is important in marriage.
Yes.
But when you look at everything else in a marital relationship, it's like the least important thing. Yes, it really is. And a lot of married couples, they don't agree. But when you begin to go through all these different ups and downs and just lifestyle changes in your marital relationship, sex is not going to be what holds it together. It's going to be those things that you said, the five types of intimacy, that spiritual connection first and foremost, emotional, mental, and verbal. Those four things outside of the sexual connection, those four things alone can hold a marriage together better than sex when you're going through ups and downs just with life and marriage.
Yes. You know something, LaShawn? Sex has a tendency of masking what the issue is. Mm. You never deal with the issue, because as long as you having sex, now you let's just keep it real, because this is an adult audience. Let's just say you're dating a guy, and you know the guy really ain't who he claimed he is. But every time you have sex, you was like, well, maybe he'll change, but boy, the sex sure is good. You're being blinded from the real issue.
Yeah.
So you remain in this relationship because the sex is good? I'm sorry again about my pitch. But we gotta wake up. Now, as Christians, we know we shouldn't even be having sexual relations. Unfortunately, it does happen. It's happening. But I say you can still stop, and you can start over even in the midst of that relationship, but you need to sit down and talk to that man or talk to that woman and say, listen, this is really what I want in a relationship. And once again, sex has the tendency of blinding us, and we'll do things that is contrary to what we would normally do. And I tell every man who thinks he's interested in me, listen, don't even think anything is going to pop off here sexually. I'm not even going down that road. I'm not even playing. And that usually tells me whether he's serious about me or not.
Yeah.
Because usually they'll walk off and just quickly, because I know our time is getting away from us. But even after I wrote the book, and a few guys got a hold, they bought their copy and they read it, they was like, could you please marry me and be my wife? I was like, no. They was like, oh my goodness, what you wrote in this book, they was so blown away. Some of them, because they knew me from elementary school, middle school, and high school, to see that I, first of all, even wrote a book of such caliber. But to read what I wrote, they was like, you're the kind of wife I want. I'm like, trust me, I'm not. I'm like, you got to be a real special man to deal with me. So I appreciate the gesture of proposal, but I'm like, trust me, I'm really not the one for you, because I know how I am, LaShawn, just like you know how you are, your husband know how he is.
Yes.
And I'm like, listen, I'm forewarning you, I'm really not the one. I appreciate the feedback about my book, but I'm like, yeah, we can't, we're not going down that road. But it made me feel good to hear from men to say what the book has meant to them and what it has done for them individually as a man. And, you know, I tell all men, I said, this is what I want to hear. And actually, while I was finishing up my book, I had actually spoke to about 3 or 4 different men at my previous job just to make sure that I was on the right path when I was writing the My Man chapter. And when they was giving me their feedback, I was on target. I was on target. So I said, okay. And when I told them what I was sharing, they was like, that's it, Nodella. That's exactly it. And, you know, so it was definitely, you know, I prayed to God during the entire process. I initially wrote the book actually in 10 days, believe it or not. I wrote because I was no longer working. I was unemployed, so I had nothing but time on my hands. And after God told me the name of the book, I got up the next morning. I will never forget. It was December 10th, and I came and sat down at my dining table, and I just wrote. And I wrote. I took a break, went to bed, got up the next morning, got back to the table, and it just began to flow. And I sought God. I'm like, God, what do I need to put in this book? I know what I want to put. But what do you want me to put in this book as well that the people need to know, especially when addressing the body of Christ? I tell people my book is for Christians and non-Christians, men and women. People have wants to use it in their groups, so I've even developed a lesson plan. That's the other difference about my book. I've developed lesson plans for my book for anyone who wants to teach it in a group. And once again, I encourage couples. I said, read my book together. I said, it's okay to read it apart. I said, but I want you all to also find a time and read my book together. And y'all talk about it while you're reading it together.
Wow, that's great information for anyone who does marriage counseling, or especially,
yes,
you know, pastors, because they too do premarital counseling and different things.
Yes.
The show will not cut off. I made sure I added a few minutes just in case we needed it. Because so I say 30 minutes, but I add a few minutes extra just in case we go a little over.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, this is really good. Good, great information. If you can please share your contact information with us and where we can purchase the Intimate Place.
Okay. The Intimate Place, it's available in paperback as well as ebook. It can be purchased from Zulon Press, which is my publisher. They can purchase it from Amazon, from Apple iTunes, or Apple Apple iBooks. I'm sorry, not iTunes, but Apple iBooks and Barnes & Noble. Those are the ones who's carrying my book at the moment. If anyone wants a signed copy or a gift wrap copy, I do have my own copies, and I can mail it to you. I offer free gift wrapping. My book also comes with a free bookmark as well. And it's not a very long book. I just wanted to pretty much get to the point of why I was writing the book. So it's about maybe 50 pages in content, 50 to 55 pages in content, because I just, like I said, I just really wanted to get to the point of, the book and just really wanted to get the information to the people. I didn't want them to read through a whole lot of stuff. But it's a great book. It's small. It can fit in even in your back pocket because I tested it. It can fit in your coat pocket. Ooh. You know, it's not a real bulky book. It's a very light book that you can carry.
Awesome. What, do you think this book would be beneficial to teenagers and young adults?
Yes, definitely for them. I let my grandson read it, who is 16, and he loved it. And I asked him, I said, well, what did you find in the book? And I said, give me 5 pointers that you took from this book. Girl, he wrote me 12 pointers.
Oh, yes.
And this is a 16-year-old.
Awesome.
And
wow.
he was one of the first ones to say, Nani, because my name is Nani. I'm not grandma. My name is Nani. And he says, Nani, you need to do a part 2.
Wow.
So I,
okay.
You know, I entertained that thought, and a number of other people was like, I hope you're doing part 2. And I said, I'll get to it, but right now I am working on another book that I'm getting ready to release, as well as my women's shoe line that I'm working on trying to launch by Christmas of this year, of 2017. So I said, once
awesome.
I get those two things up and running, then I was going to circle back to the Intimate Place Part 2. I do already know what I'm going to discuss in Part 2 once I get there.
Okay.
But,
you
yes, young teens and young adults definitely would benefit, especially because they are starting to, quote-unquote, date at a younger age. And I believe
yes.
if they understood what intimacy was and that it's not about sex, I believe they would hold out and not be so quick to enter into sexual relations.
Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that information, because I know that parents can definitely get these as gifts for their teenagers. I don't know,
yes.
that kind of just came to me while I was looking at it, like, yes, this sounds like something the teens need, you know?
Definitely,
okay.
And I'm not using, you know, large philosophical words. It's, you know, I kept it as simple as possible because I wanted the readers to understand what I was saying without having to get a dictionary to look up, well, what does she mean by this word?
Yes.
So I kept it pretty simple. Once again, my 16-year-old grandson read it, and I'm going to let my 14-year-old grand – how old is she, 14 now? I think she – my granddaughter just turned 14, so I'm going to let her read it because she's 14 now. You know, she's
mm-hmm.
developed, and, you know, little boys are making googly eyes at her and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I want her to understand – that one of the things that I did, and I know, you know, we got to wrap up, but one of the things that I taught the young adults at my former ministry, I challenged them and I said, when is it good for a girlfriend and boyfriend to move in together? And they came up with some really good reasons. I was shocked. And I said, do you think that you can truly live together? Yeah, we're going to have separate bedrooms. I said, do you really think that you can live together without being sexually active? They were like, yeah. And one kid, he was actually honest. He was like, no. I said, I appreciate your honesty.
Yes.
You know, so I was upfront with them to let them know not to fall prey to the deception that it's okay to live together even if you have separate bedrooms. That you know, I really just want to
yeah.
help this generation not to fall in the traps that we fell into and, you know, be so gullible to, you know, a slickster, because some of these girls are just as slick as the guys, you know, and I just really
That's
want them
so
to
true.
Make better choices in that area.
Yeah. Wow. It has been great chatting with
yes.
you on tonight.
Yes,
please,
thank you, Michelle.
Share again where we can purchase your book, and also share any social media avenues where we can reach out to you.
I am on Facebook as Nodella Jordan. I'm on Facebook also. I do have the Intimate Place page on my page. I'm on Google. I actually have 3 accounts on Google, but I have one Google account is for ministry, and it's NSJ Ministries, which is my first middle and last name initials, NSJ Ministries on Google. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram, Pinterest. I think that's all of them.
Awesome.
And once again,
so we can
my book can
with you
be
all
purchased.
Across the board.
Huh?
So we can connect with you all across the board.
Yes, I wanted to make myself available as much as possible. I am open to speaking. I am experienced at speaking at breakfast, conferences, workshops, you name it. I've pretty much done it all, so I am comfortable on the platform. I've been on platforms since I was actually a kid, so, you know, I'm well-versed. You know, if anyone wants to book me, once again, you can hit me up on Facebook or through Messenger, Google, LinkedIn, Instagram. I haven't been on Pinterest much, but the 4 major social media sites, you can definitely find me. And I made it easy. I'm under Nodella Jordan, and I'm the only Nodella Jordan or Nodella Sakajawea Jordan. So they won't have a hard time finding me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for stopping by Emerge from the Ashes. And again, we thank you for joining us on tonight, Nodella. And we just want to pray over you before we go
yes.
ahead and end. So, Papa, we just want to say thank you on tonight, God. Thank you
yes.
for your daughter, Lord. Thank you for all that you've placed on the inside of her, God. Thank
yes.
you, God, from the places that you have taken her from, God, the places of where maybe people spoke over her what she was unable to do, God, but she has emerged from the ashes. She has
yes.
risen up, God, and those things that you have placed in her, Lord, she's using her gifts and her talents, God, the anointing on her life for your glory, Lord. And, Father, we just pray over this book, God. We pray over everything else that you have given her to do in this earth, God, and we thank you, Lord, for it prospering, God, for your name's sake. Father, we pray, God, that you would even touch the hearts of those who listened on tonight, God. Father, we pray, God, that they don't allow anything to stop them from getting this book, that they know that they need it, Lord, that, you know, that reservations don't come up and, you know, and just little things to say, oh, no, you really can do without it. But, Father, we pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that even as you're pulling them to purchase this book, Lord, that they will purchase this book, Lord, and that they would apply it to their lives, God. Father, we thank you, God, for breathing on this book, the intimate place, my God, my man, and myself. And, Father, we thank you, God, for the oil on your daughter's life, Lord. May she continue to go forth, and may she continue to flourish, Lord. In Jesus'
yes.
name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if I just quickly, I will give away 5 copies to people who, if they really cannot afford to purchase my copy. It's only $9.99, but if they really are tight on finances, I will give away 5 free copies.
Wow. God bless you.
Yes. Because I
Amen.
Want them to get
so,
it. Yes.
Yes. Wow. Amen. So you heard it here tonight. She'll give away 5
yes.
free copies. If you're honestly unable to afford it, you can contact her on social media under Nodella Jordan.
Yes.
Or can we give them the email address as well?
Yes, my
Just
email
address.
Just
in case there's someone not on.
Yes, my email address is nsjministries@gmail.com. N as in Nancy, S as in Sam, J as in John, ministries@gmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Nodella Jordan, for joining us on this evening. We pray the blessings of the Lord
over you.
Thank
you for having me, LaShawn. Yes, have a
have
blessed
a wonderful
evening.
Rest of the night. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.